What is up, chatbots and digital marketing podcast listeners? This is Carl Schuchert, and I've got a special interview today with my friend John Crestiani on episode number 14. So congratulations on making it this far in our podcast. I really hope that you're getting a lot out of each one of these series. And as we bring on either new content value or interviews with other leaders in their business. Now, John is a good friend. I've known him for probably close to 4 years. I say in the interview about three, but it's probably closer to 4 years. And he has been crushing it online, mainly with YouTube advertising and YouTube ads, and has just done an exceptional job on teaching affiliate marketing, digital marketing, has ran his own agency successfully. And anyway, in today's episode, we lost our video feed, so you're going to only see the board. But if you're on our podcast itself, it doesn't really matter because it's audio. And John really just gives some good tips, talks about how he got started, and basically how you can get started as well, going from a college student, the corporate rat race, and then into becoming an entrepreneur, a successful online entrepreneur. So I'm going to take this back to myself on the call. And then we'll finish up at the end where you can find your show notes. And now, if you like any of this content, depending on where you found us from, maybe it's on a Facebook Live, a watch, or on YouTube, or on our podcast, make sure to smash the like button and share this content. So let's go ahead and take it over to myself. What is up, chatbots and digital marketing podcast listeners? This is Carl Schuchert back again with another fantastic interview with my good friend, John Crestiani. I hope I said your last name right, John. I'm joined with Crestiani here, a gentleman that got his start in the online entrepreneurship in 2012 after spending just a few years in his corporate job. He realized it was not for him, and he began to hunt for ways to make money online. Thankful for us, he figured it out. And in fact, he has made over seven figures every year since 2014 without any employees. So congratulations on doing this on your own for so long. I would bet that you have some employees now, though. Do you?
Actually, no, I don't. I still don't have any employees. I work with a lot of contractors. Yeah, there are a number of, I work with a lot of contractors.
So everybody's a contractor. Awesome. So, hey, John, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know I've known you now for probably about 3 years, maybe even longer. Actually, you know what? I just thought about something. I just remembered potentially the first time I met you, which was in an elevator in, I think it was in Las Vegas, and it was at an event, the 3C event, I think it was.
And yeah, I was just about to say Chris Records event. Yeah.
Yeah, we were in there, and it was me, Chris, Andrew, a few other people, and you were like, "Hey guys, what's up?" We were like, "Who the heck is this guy?" But then we got to meet you.
I love Vegas. I freaking love Vegas.
Yeah, you go big in Vegas, if that's for sure. So, yeah. So tell us a little bit about you, a little bit about your start. You know, how you kind of fell into this career and found this career. It'd be great.
Sure. So I've always been super competitive. Okay, that's something that I think has been with me throughout. And as you see, for podcast listeners, is the video of this going out?
It will on YouTube.
Okay, so I'm wearing my soccer alumni hat here. So I've always been competitive, and you know, once I got into college, I don't know. I just, you know, I had that bug to make money, but you know, because that was kind of the next, you know, I was never going to be a pro athlete, and money seemed to be the next thing that guys who aren't, you know, like Adonises do. So I was like, okay, let's make money. But college never taught me how to make money. So I just kind of had to, you know, forge my own path. I was impatient, so I started a number of businesses, and you know, starting an internet business is just it's the easiest place to get started, and you can make as much as you want. So it just was kind of an obvious path for me to fall into.
Awesome. And so what were you studying in school?
Actually, marketing. But you just learn. You learn these things like color theory, or kind of like you know, like you analyze Nike magazine ads, and there was always a big disconnect for me from how these, you know, it's like, how is analyzing this Adidas ad and this Nike ad going to make me a lot of money? And I would sit there and I would think to myself, you know, I'm like, am I wasting my time? Am I going to work for Nike's ad agency? And it just felt so disconnected from actually like going out and buying a Lamborghini, that, you know, I was just like, this seems stupid. And I actually remember, I went to Southern Methodist University in Dallas, and, you know, I was trying to play the college game. I was joining, you know, the business society, you know, the societies, and going to the extracurricular events. They had, you know, different speakers, you know, come to the college, and I'd go see them and ask smart questions and whatnot. But I remember there was a point, it was actually, it was one of the low points in college for me. I'd just gone through rush week, and most of the fraternities in Texas didn't accept people from outside of Texas or from outside of the South. Many of the fraternities are very, very particular to the areas they're from. There's one fraternity, which is where California people went. It was Fiji. And that was like the one fraternity, if I wanted to join, that I had a chance at. And for me, fraternities were kind of like, they were, you know, winning in college. Like, that's the thing you did. And the people in the fraternities got the best jobs and got the, you know, all this other stuff. And long story short, but I didn't get into this fraternity. And you have to do a lot of the problem was I didn't do enough ass kissing. I didn't do enough basically bitch work for the guys who were already in. And I remember after that, first I was sad. Then I was just thinking to myself, so much of this is so stupid. This whole corporate, you know, this butt kissing, this corporate work, you know, like, I was hoping to butt kiss to get into the fraternity so that I could butt kiss their dads to get a job working for their law firm in downtown Dallas. You know, they're all, you know, or working for their hedge fund in Houston. It was all this, it was all a stupid pyramid scheme of butt kissing. And it was. I was just like, where is the value being added to the world? This seems so stupid. And I'd say it was at that point where I was just like, you know what, this whole, you know, this whole thing is stupid. The only way to really do it is to rely on myself. And I'd say at that point in college, I kind of said, okay, look, I can't rely on just following this stupid system that was set up 100 years ago. The only way to really make it in this life is to go out there and forge your own path, find where the money is, find what customer needs to be desired, and just follow the money and add value along the way. And that's what I've really done.
Awesome. I really like, I like thinking of the corporate ladder as like a big butt sniffing ladder, literally. Pyramid scheme. So great analogy on that. But also to like how you...
Similar story. You came from the corporate world, right, as yeah. well, right?
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, I lived it. Yeah. Everybody was kissing the next person's butt all the way up to the top.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Whoever made the most money was like the king at the top. But yeah, I love how you just you forged your way into creating your own business. So it's again near and dear to heart on that as well, because I think I started my entrepreneurship pretty early as well. And but yeah, there was like the fact that you can create your own security and, you know, your own boss, live by your own rules. You know, create. That's what I love about this. We were talking a little bit before this call, and you're talking about being the teacher and how our teaching is better than the school system, you know, practically. So, that's what people pay us for. That's why we help people and people build their business. So that's one thing I really love about it. when you first got started, was it easy? Did you just take off right away, or did you run into some stumbling blocks?
Sure. So in the first place, it was a lot of searching. Like everyone, I searched how to make money online. And, you know, I got eBooks, I bought courses, I bought eBooks. But back in 2008, there weren't many options to learn from real people. It was kind of, you were buying these eBooks that were written under pen names, and there was no accountability on the teacher side of things. So it was a lot of people selling stuff, but there weren't many real teachers, quote unquote, or at least I didn't find them at first. So I'd say,
what were some of those?
I don't even remember the eBooks, but I do remember the book I read was The 4-Hour Workweek, and that made sense to me. I read that book, and that I said, this is what I want to do. I want to travel the world. I want that freedom, and I want that money. And that nobody had ever, it seems silly now, but I didn't even know up until that point that sort of freedom was even an option, because I'd never learned about that anywhere else in my life. For many of the people listening to this podcast or whatnot, I'm sure you're familiar with all these guys, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk, Tony Robbins. But at the point when I was, you know, 19 years old, I had no idea that there was this alternative path you could take, and not just butt kiss your way to the top. That you could work for yourself and make millions of dollars and live like a king. It seemed amazing to me. And I said, this is what I want to do. But I started taking, you know, steps towards that path.
So when you did start, I mean, you just started a business and had success the first time, or was it, you know?
Yeah. So the first things I started affiliate marketing. It was like way too complicated. Didn't understand it. You know, some people were using websites. I can't program for, you know, butt kiss. So, what I started doing, I tried a number of internet things, but what I landed on was, I had always been friends with the international students at my college. I know Japanese. I speak Japanese, so that's something. I think you speak Japanese as well. I'd always been friends with those Japanese and the international students. So I started selling them tutoring services. It was like the first, you know, just they needed people to help, you know, edit or proofread essays and, you know, homework. So I was like a highly paid tutor for a little bit, and I got a lot of business that way. And then I started, this is something I don't talk about much. So, I started an essay writing service. I was writing essays for $40 a page. Okay. It was like, it varied between $25 to $50 a page, depending on how nice the guy's car was. And some of these Asian international students, they're driving like BMW M3s. This one Chinese kid had an R8, like his dad owned a big factory or something, I guess. So I charged him $50 a page. You know, this is like 250 words. So that was a good business, but it wasn't scalable. And that worked immediately, but it wasn't necessarily a scalable business. Now I tried to make that scalable. I started a service called YourEssayWriter.com, actually. And I tried to create a software, and I tried to create a marketplace to connect college educated people in the Pacific Northwest who didn't have any work with Asian international students. But the problem was, while I was making money tutoring, I lost a ton of money on software development. I lost every dollar I made tutoring, I lost trying to turn it into a scalable business. And I also lost because just massive, there were refunds and all this stuff, because if a student got a B, if they were paying me in person, they couldn't charge back.
Right.
But if that student got a B plus, it wasn't good enough. It's not good enough in China or for Asians to get a B plus. So I would get a refund or a charge back from students after I'd already paid the mom in Nebraska. And I would get late orders because somebody, one of the people I was paying said, oh, I don't feel comfortable writing this whole thing. I'm comfortable editing it. So I just had all these issues and I lost every dollar I'd made doing tutoring. So I felt like I never really had a business, but the positive point was I was making money. And I think making money when you start, whether even if it's not scalable, is so important to getting your confidence up as an entrepreneur to allow you to get things to that next level. It doesn't need to be scalable at first. It just needs to be making money. And I think that's an important way to start.
Yeah, no, that's a really good tip. I think for listeners, especially, you don't have to like knock it out of the park right away, but you got to find something that pays the bills. And, and also it pays for a potential something bigger and greater, like you were building a piece of software, which I know is very tough, especially when it was it your first piece of software.
Yeah. And, I've tried a couple times. It's always failed. So yeah. It's been a great way to lose a lot of money. You've built software and you've done a great job with, what you've built. But I it was way too complicated. There's a reason why software companies are so big and it's so expensive. It's very complex.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough environment. That's for sure. And I know the first piece of software I built, was a massive loss. So,
not really.
It was a big learning experience. So also I wanted to bring this up. I don't like to talk about, I don't think it's negative because the way you handle it. But I also want to bring this up is that recently you lost your home in a fire, and I think there's a lesson there. Like you had a post, beautiful post. I didn't look it up, but I know you mentioned that, you know, you've got a beautiful home up in Malibu. You just bought it, I think, because we spoke at an event in Vegas recently, and you're telling me like, yeah, I'm out here now. And I was like, wow, Malibu Hills, beautiful area. I've been there before. I know it. And you're telling me about it. And then shortly after that, you had a fire. And there was these big fires in California this last year, unfortunately wiped out so many homes, and even in some of these beautiful locations like Malibu. But what I really think was beautiful, the bright side about it, was the way that you handled it. Like you were like, hey, my family is safe and that's all that matters. We're going to rebuild, you know, and just the way that you handled it. I mean, have you done some like personal development, or do you have like certain belief systems that you follow that maybe you could help other people, as far as, you know, things that are tragic happen to us all the time, but sometimes everybody handles it differently. I really admired the way that you handled it. I don't know if there's anything you can talk about, mindset or anything like that, that you kind of live by.
Yeah. So, so we had actually bought, it was really cool. We had bought our dream property. It was a horse property up in Malibu, just, as you said, last year. We hadn't even lived in it for 3 months. But it was gorgeous because it was overlooking. We were right up against, I like nature. So we were right up against Malibu Creek State Park, which is just basically like the wilderness. And there's coyotes out there. There's deer that slept in our backyard around the hill. There's mountain lions. There's over a dozen mountain lions and all sorts of things. It's really exciting being out there. I'd see the shooting stars every night. We had a big jacuzzi way out in our property. It was just really gorgeous. And it was outside of the city. And I think it was a great, you know, it's in a good school district, obviously, Malibu. So we were all set. And not even 3 months in, what you're referring to is the Woolsey fire just destroyed us. fortunately, we got all of our animals out, but we weren't able to get any of our belongings out. We actually, it came on so fast. It jumped the freeway and it was just, you know, at our place. The winds were 70 miles an hour and they were just, the embers were hopping over mountain ranges. So it took every house on our block except for one, randomly enough. Now, yeah, I'd say what happened after that, everywhere we went, people would, we'd get what I call the pity party. People would say, "Oh, I'm so sorry about your house. That must be so awful. Oh, you know what? You must, you know, like this is all." And the way, I don't know, for me it was, you know, I understand that people see an event and they get really sad, but I've never been one to victimize myself. And I don't think victimizing yourself is good. I believe, and I see this because I train, you know, I'm a teacher. I teach people mm-hmm. online marketing. And one of the major things I see of success is that the people who succeed are not the ones that are constantly talking about how they're victims of their circumstances. And I've always believed in a person's ability to do whatever they want. I find the least successful people are the ones who make the biggest excuses, because we can always say we're a victim of our circumstances. And it's funny, people really get, and I see this all day long, people get really passionate. They get really, they'll get angry sometimes if you challenge that they're not a victim. You say, "Well, your wife's sick, and yes, you have arthritis, but you can still become successful. You can still do this." And I see people get angry and they say, "No, look, you don't know what it's like. My, you know, like I don't have the time. I have to do this. I have to do." And I think our culture of excuses is so crazy. And I mean, for me, I grew up with my grandparents. Both my grandparents fought in World War II. And I grew up with stories of my grandparents fighting in World War II. These are guys that were shipped away for years on like malaria. You know, my one grandpa was in like malaria infested islands. They didn't get enough food to eat. I mean, their buddies were dying, you know, like every week. not dead. I'm not talking like their buddy lost $100 on Facebook.
Yeah, no, they're dead.
I'm not talking that like, you know, the, you know, they had to learn, you know, a new language. You know, they literally had to learn new languages in the span of weeks, you know, and that, you know, yet the, and my other grandpa was in, you know, in Europe. And, you know, it's like there's like Nazis like trying to kill you every day. Yet the things, we have it so easy compared to that. And this is my worldview, I guess, mm-hmm. which is what we're getting. We have it so easy getting into this. You know, it's like, hey, you have to call up some people and try to get some money with them to offer them a service, or you have to put up some ads. You have to put up some ads to that appeal to people to make money, or you have to set up some chatbot logic. This is easy stuff compared to fighting Nazis and possibly dying. I mean, we're talking about, we get to sit in air conditioned rooms in little swivelly chairs, and all we have to do is watch some videos, you know, play some ads, lose some money. The worst thing that can happen to us, we're not going to starve. We're not going to go hungry. We're not going to go for lack of water. The worst thing that can happen to us if you have access to a computer and you're watching this is really like nothing. You know, there's the worst thing that can happen to you is you lose a few dollars in starting an internet business, and you're still, everything's still fine. Your life is never at risk. And I think when people put things in perspective of how easy we have things, everything else that you can complain about is minimal. And also screw being a slave for some slave master. I'm gonna do the work to be a free person, to be, you know, to make my own business work. So that's, I don't know. That's how everything factors into. So in comparison, losing a house, whatever, you know, it doesn't affect, you know, I'm going to get insurance money for it. We got insurance money for it. We got more than we bargained for, actually. And, you know, we'll buy new furniture. So the worst thing is really not that bad in perspective. That's how I look at things.
Right. You guys have each other and, you know, you have a family now getting started. And so you have some, and your pets were all safe. And so, yeah, it's a lot of good things to be blessed about, you know, counting your blessings. So yeah, I just really admired like the way you're handling it and handled it. And again, to another analogy about World War II, you know, that's life or death. Like maybe we should look at our lives like that a little bit closer too, you know, like, you know, I think there's an analogy, gold or lead, you know, which one would you rather take, lead or gold? So
yeah,
good one. So we're kind of running out of time here, so I want to just end on a couple of more things and then we'll finish up. Life lessons, any life lessons or advice that you want to give us, you think that would help? It could be personal and it could be business, either works.
Follow a teacher, follow a mentor. Trying to piece things together yourself is like Frankensteining, I call it. You know, you're just going to get some ugly abomination of if you're trying to combine, you know, if you're trying out too many things, if you have too many cooks in the kitchen, so to speak, it can get problematic. So I say find a teacher and follow them, whoever they are, but focus on a single path, because I'd say, and really, you know, finding a teacher, you know, yeah, anybody Carl introduces you to is a good choice, but ultimately I think focus is the biggest place where I see people fail, and so just focus on one path.
Perfect. So find a mentor, focus on one path. That's a good piece of advice. Awesome. Well, I'm going to go ahead and end the call right here. Guys, you can find all of our stuff on the show notes. I'm actually going to go back to myself and do the ending credits to this call, so you'll be able to find all the stuff on the show notes. Hear more about how to find and follow John as well. And John, thanks for having us on the call. I really appreciate it, man. It was definitely a lot of good content. I think people really dig it.
Yeah, always good chatting with you, man.
Thanks.
All right, guys, what a fantastic interview that was. I was super stoked to have John on our call, and I really hope that you guys got a lot of killer nuggets out of this information. So what I want to tell you guys is a couple of things. One, we're sponsored by segmateapp.com. You can go to segmateapp.com, and you can start a 14-day free trial, or you could go to our show notes. Our show notes are on Medium, M-E-D-I-U-M. You can go to Medium and you can search Chatbots and Digital Marketing Podcast. Just go there and do a search and you will be able to find our podcast and then find our show notes. And also, you should find a link for the Build a Bot Workshop. You're going to want to join the Build a Bot Workshop. It's absolutely free to join. It's going to be 3 powerful days. It's going to teach you all about chatbot marketing. All right, guys. So if you found us on any of our mediums, we're all over the place. We're on 9 different channels for podcasting. We're on YouTube and we're also on Facebook. So make sure you smash a like button, a follow button, and that way you never miss a thing. Or even if you're on Medium, make sure you clap and you join there too. All right. So this is Carl Schickert with Chatbots and Digital Marketing Podcast, the end of episode 14. We'll see you guys on the next one. Bye.